I almost finished the chapter on cellular respiration. Just one slide left. And really, this is just a summary slide, so there's not even any new information. What we're looking at here is one crista. Now, don't get the idea that an electron transport chain takes up this much room in a crista. This is a cartoon. There are many, many copies of the electron transport chain, as I said. The reason it's shown twice here, though, is because remember that there are two ways for electrons to funnel in, either through complex 1 or through complex 2, right, as we talked about. So that's why they're showing it twice here. NADH dumps its electrons off to complex 1. FADH2 drops it off at complex 2. And keep in mind that complex 2 is really just part of the citric acid cycle, like we talked about. So FADH2 doesn't have to drive around as a taxi. It just basically is part of this complex, receives the electrons from the fuel as an intermediate in citric acid cycle, and then immediately drops it off to the rest of the chain. So 3 and 4 here work identically. It doesn't matter where the original electrons came from, FADH2 or NADH, they're still going to go through the same 3 and 4 complexes. And also, which one of these things is operating as pumps? Not all of them. All except complex 2, right. Complex 1, complex 3, and complex 4 use the energy that is released when electrons get transferred from one to the other to pump protons. And protons are pumped from the mitochondrial matrix through the intermembrane into the intermembrane space. So that's why you see all these hydrogen ions or protons accumulating in the intermembrane space. That is now your source of energy that was originally in glucose. These protons want, because of that electrochemical gradient, they want to go back into the matrix by diffusion. But they're ions, so they don't easily get through the phospholipid bilayer. The only places they're allowed back through is through ATP synthase molecules, which there's many, many copies of those as well, not just these two big ones in the cartoon. And that diffusion of hydrogen ions back into the matrix through the ATP synthase is what aspect of oxidative phosphorylation? Chemiosmosis, right. The chemiosmosis employs that potential energy that's in the form of the hydrogen ion gradient in order to do the phosphorylation part of oxidative phosphorylation. The oxidative part is the electron transport chain, or the process of electron transport through many copies of the chains. All right? And just keep in mind that that is fundamentally different from substrate level phosphorylation, because you don't have something that's already phosphorylated acting as a substrate, binding temporarily to an enzyme and transferring its phosphate to ADP. That's what substrate phosphorylation is. That's how the ATP earlier was made, in glycolysis and in the citric acid cycle. Now we have inorganic phosphate, so it's not stuck onto anything. It's phosphate by itself being hooked on to ADP as this ATP synthase spins. And that's where I ended up yesterday telling you about the beta subunits being in three conformations. Since there are three beta subunits in the catalytic knob of the ATP synthase, each in a different state, when one is loose, another one is tight, and another one is open. But since there are three different beta subunits, each acting as a catalyst, an enzyme, that means each one of them can turn an ADP into an inorganic phosphate. So when this thing spins, you make a lot of ATP. That's the final payoff. That's where you really make end up making a lot more ATP for the energy that was originally in glucose compared to the paltry few that you made up to that point. And that's why it's worth going down the road of cellular respiration rather than fermentation. It gets you additional usable energy in the form of ATP. So any questions about any of this? Yeah. The porins are in the outer membrane, notice. And the outer membrane is very porous because of the presence of these porins. And that's why the intermembrane space is really chemically not too much different from the cytoplasm or the cytosol, because so many things can get through this outer membrane. The inner membrane, though, is kept separate. Now, you might think that because the crystal space, which is the space in here, the intermembrane space, that hydrogen ions would just leak out like crazy here. And some can, of course, but because of the extensive infolding, it doesn't happen all that much. The things, though, that need to get fully into the matrix, they need to go through specific transporters not shown here that are in the inner membrane. Okay, any other questions before we go to another chapter?